Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? This is Adam, Primetime Townsend, and you are, of course, listening to Primetime Live. And tonight we've got an action-packed show of Darius Reynolds, and of course, Jay Page is going to be calling in with us to talk as well. And tonight's episode is, as always, brought to you by Highlander Barbecue. Tomorrow is Thursday. On Wednesdays they have Salisbury steak, mashed potatoes, and gravy, which is delicious. Not ate it in a while, but it's delicious. And tomorrow will be the pig wings. If you know how to pig wing, you need to try it. And then after that, Friday is ribs. And, of course, if you all your local and, you know, now they've branched out and doing UFC and everything else, but for all your MMA news, of course, you go to MMA-insider.com, and good John Morehouse over there will keep everything updated and keep that site flowing very well. And, you know, Justin Wilden, we leave this Friday to head out to the Ultimate Fighter tryouts. You know, we're both excited about it, both, you know, very optimistic and hope that we can go out there and get things. The Ultimate Fighter show is on right now still, which is weird because most of the time it's normally in the world. Yeah, it does run to 11:30 tonight. Just check that out. It's American Top Team versus the Black Zillions. And Black Zillions, my fight with the RFA. Hello, Dutch?
Yo.
What up, brother?
What up,
huh? Just talking with Ultimate Fighter. I was about to announce my I've not even announced it to anybody yet. There's very few people that actually know that I was scheduled to fight. Let me go ahead and run through the opponents that I had for this RFA fight. Number one was Wade Johnson. Fighting him, and he ended up having to have back surgery. And then they moved me to fighting a guy that would just be Anthony Njikwani, and his name was David Burrow. And then David Burrow, they let him fight for the Legacy title. So then they moved me to fighting a guy named Chris Feist, who trained with Johnny Hendricks. And then they changed it to Chris Feist backed out, I don't know why, to a guy from MMA Lab named Chris Futuremaker or something like that. And then Legacy or RFA sent me a message saying, hey, we couldn't come to terms with Chris Futuremaker. And then they made me, now I'm fighting a guy from the team, the Black Zillions team, which he's apparently a coach down there because I've seen him coaching tonight. And they also talked about how he helped, you know, start basically the Black Zillions gym with the other guy. And his name is Yuri Villafort. Yuri's 6 foot tall. He's black belt jiu-jitsu. He's got good stand-up, good takedowns, good takedown defense. Very, very game fighter. The only thing about him is he's on a 4-fight losing streak. He had one loss in Strikeforce, 2 losses in UFC, and then he had a loss locally. So, I mean, he's on a little bit of a rough stint, but he was 6-0 at the time until he went on that 4-fight losing streak. So it's a really dangerous fight for me to take, but I just feel confident in putting whoever they put in front of me, you know, ready to, you know, kick some ass. So there we go.
Damn right.
So Dustin, you know, we leave for Vegas Friday. We leave around 3 o'clock, going out there for the Ultimate Fighter tryouts, which are on a Monday. You know, get out there and kind of settle ourselves in and, you know, get a little work in, maybe go to a couple gyms out there and you know, see how that works out for us. So,
hell yeah. Excited about it, brother.
I am too, man. I'm, you know, like I said, like I mentioned earlier, I'm very optimistic about what can happen. And, you know, I'm making sure that I keep you know, it could happen. You know, either one of us could get picked. You could get picked. I could get picked. We could both get picked. Neither one of us could get picked. You know, it's kind of one of the things. It depends on what they're wanting, who they're wanting, and all that stuff. So, you know, like we said, you know, anything can happen. And I'm just going to go out there and try to put on the best performance I can, get noticed. And, you know, Joe Silva and them already know who I am. They asked me to come out there. So I hope basically that still stands. They are doing the 155 pounds and the 70s, which in a way it makes it better, in a way it makes it worse, because you won't have to have as many fights, but at the same time, You know, that's instead of picking 32 fighters from the jump, now they're only going to be picking 16 fighters from the jump. So to be part of that Elite 16 out of probably 500 or so fighters is going to be, you know, a tough thing to be, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But, hell, man, so, I think it's all about timing and, you know,
yep.
composure and drive, man. And
yep.
I think
so, you know, we could get out there and neither one of us could make it past the first round and, you know, come back home. But, you know, who knows? Who knows what can happen? So we're going to go out there and we're going to try it and put on the best performance we can and do it that way. But, yeah, so yeah. We'll go ahead and move on to our next guest right here. We've got Darius Reynolds on the phone with us here. Darius, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Adam? How you doing?
Not much, man. My co-host here, Dustin Walden, as always.
What's up, man?
Man, just hanging out.
Hell yeah.
Yes, sir. So, we kind of went off this, we went off kind of talking about fighting a lot on this show, but, you know, you do have a fight coming up here pretty soon, May the 9th out there in Bluntville, and you're fighting for Apex 6, fighting for Tim Woolley once again. And, you know, your very first fight was for Evolution Combat, and you went out there and you beat Duke and Lutus, and y'all rematched, and you knocked him out again. So, and then you took on a tough guy and Billy Mullins, not Billy Mullins, Billy Combs, and, you know, y'all had a great fight, and you ended up catching with a triangle. So, obviously, you're doing some things right. Just tell us a little bit about how you're preparing for your next upcoming fight.
Well, you know, my biggest thing for fights is making sure that I'm all there and composed mentally. So I like to take a couple moments, a couple days before the fight and, you know, let myself really grasp the fact that I'm about to go in there and fight somebody and lay it all out on the line. But overall, preparing for it, you know, I'm doing the normal thing. I'm practicing combos. I'm practicing sparring, you know, practicing submissions. Grappling, just making sure that overall I'm prepared and ready for this fight wherever it goes.
Most definitely. Well, I mean, you're what, 3-0 right now, right?
Yes, sir.
3-0. You know, if you really have no background, you know, that was kind of the way that I led up to it as well. You know, I didn't have any background in it or nothing like that. I just came out and started fighting. That's pretty much how you done it, man. You jumped right in with somebody that was, you know, from a half-decent team there out of Lutus and, you know, and had a good, you know, couple fights with him, and then you beat, you know, a veteran. You know, Billy Combs really ain't, you know, he's not really very technical, but, you know, sometimes technique ain't all that matters in MMA. Sometimes it's being really game and just being really tough and in the fight the whole time is more dangerous than somebody that's very good at just jiu-jitsu or very good at striking, you know, like Billy was. So, and that was a hell of a fight between y'all as well. But anyway, so... enough about that shit for a little while. Let's move on to something different. Dustin wanted to bring up the fact that, I mean, I see you on Facebook. You're on there quite a bit. What's your whole intake on the, what's that bitch's name, Dustin? I forgot the name. The Lit Challenge? You're talking
Kylie
about?
Kylie Jenner.
Kylie Jenner, right? But what's your whole fucking take on the Kylie Jenner Lit Challenge? You seen that shit?
I've seen that too, and you know, I think it's just one of those ridiculous little scenes, I guess, you know, one of those trends that are going on that dumb people do, young dumb people. I don't really get it, why someone would want to put a cup of some sort on their lips and suction it to make it bigger, you know, make them look ridiculous in the end.
Well, honestly, that reminds me of something I did when I was six or something that Peyton was.
Yeah, no doubt.
You're
taking the whole cup and putting it on your mouth and, like, having your whole fucking, your whole fucking, like, chin and lips and cheeks and everything ripped in the big-ass cup that was on your face.
Yeah, it
you
doesn't make much
chick,
sense to me.
You did chick lips that actually, like, busted or whatever?
Yeah, I saw that.
I did actually
that
do that.
Insane. Yeah, that's incredible. But, yeah, man, you know, like you're saying, there's so many fucking crazy trends that go around, and I don't try to compete in most of those, and they had, you know, there for a while everybody was doing the Ice Bucket Challenge, and I just completely refused to do one of those because that really, I mean, that was, to me, that was nothing about the actual challenge of really feeling what them people that have that syndrome is. You know, it's supposed to make you feel like you can move nothing but your lips, and that's the whole part of that thing. But people are just doing that to get Facebook likes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying completely. There's other ways to show support and stuff for diseases and all that out there. You know, you can actually go out and donate, or actually go out and hold, like, some kind of public event or something, rather than something that really means nothing. Like, nobody's getting any support by doing the Ice Bucket Challenge and none of that stupid stuff. So, I mean, I don't agree with any of it either.
Do some research.
Exactly. Like, you know, most of them, what was the ALS? Is that the name of that thing? Like, 9% of people that was doing that challenge, I guarantee you they didn't know. They couldn't tell you those the three fucking words that ALS stood for. And that's what I'm saying. Like, 9% of people that done that challenge could not fucking say what ALS stands for or what it fucking is. You know what I'm saying? That's just kind of one of the dumb trends that kind of got brought up when you said about the trends that are on there. You remember there for a while, everybody was doing like the, they'd like throw alcohol on their hands, and then everybody was making the twerking videos, and then everybody was doing the Harlem shakes, and it's just all the trends, you know, that always stays and happens.
Yeah, I'm not really big on following the trend thing. I'm a kind of a be my own person type.
Most definitely. Through the ranks, and now who are you? Tell us a little bit about who you're fighting right now, because I fucking forgot who you're fighting.
Cameron Cornette's who I'm fighting. I really don't know much about him. You know, I don't. It's not like I've researched him a lot, but he seems like a wrestler type. So I've been working a lot on my clinch game and stuff, like grinding against the cage. It's been a lot of muscular endurance workouts this time around to just know make sure that I'm not caught off guard by any of that.
Yeah. How do you know anything about his opponent, Dustin? Have you ever heard of him, Cameron Cornette? That name sounds familiar to me. I just can't.
Nah, man, I'll be honest, I haven't. I think he fought on the last Apex show, didn't he? Some reason that doesn't sound familiar. I know Darius did, but I don't know about the other cat, man. I've heard the name from somewhere. Maybe it's because I knew he was fighting him, but I don't really know.
I know Cornette's just a pretty usual name around here, I guess. It's probably the reason why we're thinking of it more than anything.
But yeah,
are you watching Ultimate Fighter, Darius? Are you keeping up with any of that?
I actually missed it tonight. I was doing some things before this, and I was just like trying to get situated, help a couple friends get situated in their new house and all that.
So where do you live at? You live in Bristol? Is that where you live?
Yeah, I live in Bristol. I live right off of State Street, actually, like right off the state line.
State Street. Is that like downtown? Is that State Street?
Yeah, it's downtown. It's where State Street and Tennessee and Virginia meet.
Okay.
Well, Jack, are you a Virginia boy or a Tennessee boy? Are you a Virginia boy or a Tennessee boy?
Tennessee. Definitely. Always. Yeah.
There's about a 7-foot line that makes him a Tennessee boy over there.
Right.
Yeah. But now I go over there to every tattoo that I have has been done from David Cooper out there at Sacred Ink. You know where that's at?
Yeah, Sacred Ink. Yeah, I've been there a couple times with friends to get tattoos. I still haven't even got my first one yet, but I plan on going there too, to be honest.
Yeah, David Cooper, man, he's the shit when it really comes down to it, man. He can do anything there is as far as, you know, everything that I've ever asked him to do, he's by far exceeded my expectations by far.
Oh shit, hey Adam, did you get a hold of him earlier?
No, I didn't. Did he call you today, Darius?
Did he call me?
Did he call you?
No, he didn't.
Oh. I didn't know if D called you or not.
No, I definitely didn't.
We've been doing the whole D's nuts thing for a while now again, so we kind of got back on that trend.
Yeah, I got it. You ain't going to get me with that.
Did you see where that dude, the D's nuts guy, did you see where he... Where he got a sexual, you know,
the ugly ass nigga.
Where he fucked with that girl and or the whatever, and they turned him in and, you know, got him for assault, sexual assault.
Yeah, man, crazy shit happens. Crazy shit happens.
But ain't it funny how like somebody can go and not be just be the most random ugly motherfucker there is, and then like be. What is he, Instagram famous, and then all of a sudden fucking, you know, have all these, you know, friends and followers and getting paid to make appearances and shit like that for being ugly as fuck.
right?
That's the truth, though.
It is. I mean, yeah. People get famous for all kinds of crazy reasons.
Hell, there five times famous for fighting. Who the hell would have thought that?
Yeah, goddamn, no doubt.
Well, Darius, man, you know, it was a short and sweet interview tonight, man. I appreciate you being on the show. I'll go ahead and let you give, you know, any shout-outs to friends, sponsors, and families, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever you may be into, and we'll let you go.
Yeah. As usual, I just want to give a shout-out to Team Enigma, you know. We're doing our thing. I'm really proud of my team, you know. Like, we're not really known and stuff, but we're coming up. We're trying to make a name for ourselves, and we're doing a damn good job right now. I couldn't be happier. They're there for all kinds of support, and I'm just really glad to be a part of it, glad to experience this. Of course, I want to shout out my family. I want to shout out Robert Owen. He's been helping us out, getting T-shirts and stuff. He's one of the first people who showed interest in us, too, as well. But of course, thanks to you for showing interest and letting me do this whole little interview thing. You know, I had to get
man, I'm for sure, man. I've been a big fan ever since I watched your first fight. You know, I just want to continue to see you having a, you know, good career and all that shit. And, you know, anytime that y'all want to come and cross-train with us, you know, we're more than welcome to come up to the Evil and get some cross-training in. So just let us know if you ever decide you want to do that.
Oh, that'd be sweet, man. Love to.
All right, man. Well, man, have a good night, man. We appreciate you being on. Best of luck. I'll be out there watching you the ninth, and, you know, good luck to you.
All right, you know, good luck to you and everything in the future. And thank you again for being on here. Y'all have a good night.
See you, brother.
See you.
That was Darius Reynolds there, guys. He's a young, up-and-coming, talented fighter there. So.
I've always liked watching him.
He throws, and obviously, you know, he's got a little bit of jiu-jitsu now, you know. Not very familiar with Team Enigma, but at the same time, I mean, they seem to, I think they're, on a pretty good win streak right now. So, you know, whatever they're doing out there, whether they're, you know, getting good coaching or just fucking out there sparring hard and training with each other, you know, they're doing a little something right at least. So, but anyways, no doubt. But anyways, we're going to bring on our next guest and a longtime friend of mine. Used to be training partner. We don't get to train together much anymore, but one of my homies, the Laughing Assassin, if he still goes by that, I believe. Jay Page, what's up, buddy?
How we doing tonight, folks?
Oh, God, it's you again.
Hey, beautiful, what are you doing, Diablo?
What up, Mr. Jay Page?
I thought I was calling Papa John's there for a second.
I wish I was calling Papa John's.
Hey, Jay, did they get a hold of you earlier?
The what, then?
Did they get a hold of you earlier, man?
Who?
He's nuts.
Got him. I can't really tell for that.
Yeah, I blow for that.
That's funny.
Back on the
whole Papa John's pizza. I'd like to have about one Papa John's pizza and about 12 or 15 pepperonis to go with that pizza.
Peppuccini.
You should hear Peyton say peppuccini. It's fucking funny. It's hilarious.
Peppuccini. Wow, you're right.
I
could pour the garlic sauce in a shot glass and drink it straight.
Oh, yeah, I could too, most definitely. But I didn't know those were peppuccinis for long. I thought they were just like little banana peppers. And somebody's like, no, they're little peppuccinis, dumbass. And I was like, oh, a peppuccini.
I need to give that a shot.
Yep. So what's up, man? So how you been?
Well, we're trying to get something going over on the King Sport side with the Bushido Mixed Martial Arts with Jason Brake. They got the CrossFit gym up there, and we rented out the side on the other side and matted it out and trying to get a thing going in Kingsport because I mean, there's not a whole lot of MMA schools, you know, cropping up in the Kingsport area. There's Johnson City's bouncing and Bristol's bouncing, and the only city in the tri-state area that really don't have like a go-to place would be Kingsport, and we've been trying to get things going with that.
And that's crazy to me because Kingsport's such a big fucking place. I mean, is it not bigger than Johnson City? I mean, is it not?
a bigger population ship than Johnson City?
I think the big problem is that there's a lot of restaurants and banks in Kingsport, and people want to take their money out of the bank and go to the restaurants and eat. They don't want really, they really don't want to, like, you know, work out and you know.
Me too. That's what I should do with my money.
So what you're saying are people in Kingsport are rich and fat.
That's the problem. I mean, you know, I wasn't going to go ahead and say it like that, but yeah, we're rich and fat people. Nah, I'm just kidding. Nah. That's just it's just trying to find a go-to place where, you know, all the talent, you know, the big rich part of the talent is in Johnson City and Bristol. You got,
yeah,
you know, D'Evil and Team Oxen 9, and you know, on the Bristol side, you got Absolute and Striker. And all those guys. That,
yeah.
I mean, it's you got well-based places in different areas,
yeah.
But Kingsport. We've been trying to grow, and it's, you know, we're greener than baby crap right now with the talent that we got, and
sure.
The majority of the guys that we got are out of Rogers, believe it or not. They do like a 30, 45. There's one dude that drives, he drives an hour and 15 minutes to get to class.
Hell yeah.
And it's they soak it up like a sponge, man, and we're trying to.
That's a good thing though. Like you were saying, that's a good thing, because even though they're all green as grass, it's still, you know, you can actually build some fighters up. You know, that's one of the things that I always hate when I see somebody come in the gym that thinks they know how to fight and they're fighting.
Right.
Like, especially you get the guy that says, "Oh, you know, my striking's okay. I just need to work on that jiu-jitsu." And I'm like, "Bitch, your striking's just as bad as your jiu-jitsu is. You just think you can throw hands."
That's exactly right. I mean, I was the same way. I thought I could hit until I got completely destroyed by Matt Castle. And then that was really, I don't know if you understood the start of my TOT progress, but, you know, I talked to Brian, the boxer. Brad Austin. God, my brain ain't working. I was talking to him at the Johnson City Boxing Club, and he's like, "Yeah, I've been showing Adam Townsend and those guys, you know, how to, you know, throw hands and box and stuff."
Yeah.
And that's how I got hooked up with you guys. And I'm not saying my strikes are on point, but I am saying that you gotta learn from, you know, your weak spots. And mine definitely is my stand up.
I mean, yeah, I can. You know, I had eight or nine. Basically, I had nine fights, eight amateurs and one pro fight. You know, I fought Travis Shelton, and you know, Brad is without a doubt very good at boxing and a very good coach as well. But still, yeah, Brad really is not one of the people that understand the transition that you got to have from the stance to, you know, from the punches you throw, from all that stuff compared to boxing MMA. And, you know, that's when I made the switch to go over train with Dustin, you know, because, you know, I just felt like I had got, you know, stagnant over there just doing the same old. And then I went to D'Evil, and, you know, Dustin started showing me all these new techniques, and, you know, it just, you know, I'm still getting taught new techniques every day. So it's one of them things,
it's
like, you know, you just got to, yeah, you got to learn to, you know, compromise and get that shit done.
The little things kill, man. I mean, it really does. Because when I went to the boxing gym, you know, I showed Brad I could hit hard. He's like, "Yeah, you hit hard," but he said, "If you do this," and, you know, he was just tweaking everything. And then you go someplace else, and, you know, boxing from MMA fighting, you tweak this and you tweak that, and your hands, you know, you turn this way. And it those little things you have to learn, and you have to learn it all in order to have some kind of, you know, better understanding how you can improve your fight game.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, you know, I talked to you a little bit about this before, and, you know, and I'm really trying to kill the whole, you know, everybody's got this whole our gym's better than your gym mentality. And I truly do believe that, and going back and just kind of contradicting what I said, but I mean, I really do truly believe that we're the most elite gym there is right now, just from the fighters that we have, and as well as the coaches. But, you know, I'm just always pushing out there to, you know, I've asked you before, you know, get your team up and come up here and train with us, man. We'd love to have you, you know, we'd love to show y'all some stuff and, you know, do that. You know, you show us some things and really get the good cross training in, because, you know, the East Tennessee, you know, could be put on the map here soon. You know, you've got me coming up. You've got, you know,
Dustin making another run at it. You've got D Long. You've got Tyler making another run. You've got Scott Holtzman down there. And this whole, you know, area could really blow up here in the next, you know, within the next year. And, you know, it's hard not to fight, you know, it's hard not to fight other local teams for sure. I mean, you know, that's what Tim Lloyd does. He puts on local fights and local teams are going to have to fight each other. But, you know, there's got to be those couple, two or three, four teams that can come together and really all, you know, work together to achieve that same goal.
No doubt. I agree 100%. I've said that from the get-go, from, you know, coming out from day one, is that, you know, we got to help each other get better. And, you know, I've talked to Tyler Minton about this before, and he said that, you know, there'll be fighters that'll be fighting in the same gym at the time. They'll be training to fight each other later on down the road. I mean, and that's just how it is. You're absolutely, I agree 100% when you say, you know, put the pride and the ego needs to be on the shelf and look after each other and try to better each other, because some of my best friends, I mean, me and you and Dustin, we've hit each other in the face hard before.
Yeah,
I love
definitely.
Yes, I take a bullet for either one of you, that's the truth.
Yeah.
But, I mean, your best friends are the ones you beat the crap out of. And,
definitely.
Adam must be my
damn super best friend.
I didn't even know something like that existed.
Yeah, I mean, we're on a different level of punching each other in the fucking face on a daily basis and shit like that.
You're SBS.
SBS, super best friend.
That's amazing.
All right,
let's
talk about this fucking gay-ass MMA bullshit that we talk about all the time, every day of our lives, and move on to something fucking much more important like... Let's start off with the selfie stick that Jay Page.
Why we
got to
go there? Time, why we got
to
go there, man?
First, because we got to. It's one of the things we got to do.
This thing, it's the downfall of man, I'm telling you. I seen that. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was, I was just like, what's this? And then it blew me out of the water. I'm like, no. This is worse. Listen, this is worse than bath salts. This is worse than any drug, any fake weed that they got out there, man. This is us being sober doing stupid shit, man. This is us. There's not a chemical that is causing us to put our phones at the end of the stick and just hold it up and be like, what? And then click your button. No. It just, and my question was this in my little video rant that I put out there. I mean, do you not share the anger that I feel when you see an adult-ass person? What?
What was funny was, you know, when I watched that video, I mean, I literally, like, you know, you had such a, and you're so fucking goofy to get going. Nobody ever knows how to take you. But when I first watched that video, I was like, damn, this Jay's really fucking intense right now. He's really going to speak on some shit right now. And you start talking about that selfie stick. And I was like, and, you know, at this point, I didn't really realize, like, okay, you know, like, and I've seen them, and I've seen them on Amazon and stuff like that, and it never really hit me. Like, and you see people using them all the time, snowboarding and wakeboarding and doing fucking all this other shit. And I'm like, but this is just fucking, it really is fucking retarded when you actually think about it.
It needs to be dealt with.
Dustin might need one.
The MMA
community.
Yeah, exactly. Dustin's got two selfie sticks on each shoulder. His toes are long enough. He could probably do it with his feet.
That's true. He does got them cornelias too that's on the side of his feet. He's got a receding hairline, fucking big long toes.
Now look, you gotta leave his little feet alone. You can't go there.
Okay,
man. I mean.
Sorry, I forgot you
was bald. His arms are long enough to where he can have a down shot that won't look so bad.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
Well, yeah.
But, yeah.
Let's move on from the selfie stick onto a subject that we spoke on the other night a little bit on Facebook, was the ancient aliens. Let's go from there.
The what?
First of all, Dustin, what's your take on ancient aliens? What's your take on aliens in general, actually?
Man, I used to be big on, like, supernatural UFOs and shit when I was a kid. I believe, man, there's some extraterrestrial life out there somewhere, but I don't know, man. I don't know, like, how to explain it here. Maybe it's just the government, man. Maybe the government's a bunch of aliens. Who knows?
There's so many, you know, conspiracies and things like that. Let me tell you I'll sum up my whole ancient, my whole alien thing up for you. And this ain't even the thing I saw on ancient aliens. This thing I saw on something else. But you know how everybody used to live to be like 900 years old back in, you know, a long time ago. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I made 100.
Here's what I think. Well, yeah, but around the Earth, you know, right outside of like the atmosphere, the hemisphere, whatever that shit is up there, there was a thin layer of water. I mean, not by thin, I mean it was a lot of fucking water up there, but it just looked thin because it had to go around the whole Earth, and that created like a hyperbaric chamber type of shit. Then, when Noah built the ark, that was what he was preparing for, because you see all these, you know, ancient cities and civilizations and things like that that are under the water so far, and there's this saying that there's no way these cities could be underwater unless this water wasn't here before. You know, some people say it comes from, you know, from glaciers and the ice age and global warming and things like that. But what I believe happened is that water up there, you know, ended up falling down, it busted a hole, whatever happened, maybe an asteroid came through it, it fucked that up, it comes through there, and then that's what created the flood, flooded the whole world, and all that thing, and all that shit happened. Well, from
Adam,
that,
I think
you
need to work on fighting, and you need to work for
NASA. No. I agree, too. So then when that happened, so that's what caused everybody to not be able to live as long no more, because the oxygen had less, the Earth had less oxygen on it because that water had come down from the sky and outside of our hemisphere, and, you know, that's my whole take on the whole why Noah was there and why, because I believe in Noah and I believe in God, but, you know, I think that's exactly what happened as far as why people used to live a lot longer ago, and then the flood happened, and then you living to be 80 and 90 years old now instead.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I've never really heard that theory before, but that does make sense. But my take on things, the way I look at it, I actually got this on my About You on Facebook, my take on the whole religious
about who?
Deal. About me. about my Facebook profile. About Jay Page. I put, you can take, and I've told people this, you can take the whole religious part out of it. You can literally throw the Bible out of the mix, and you cannot stand back and say that everything here was not made, because it had to come from somewhere. And this is not me speaking religiously. This is me talking in common sense here. You can't, if I hold out my hand and I say I got nothing in my hand, a million, billion, trillion, zillion years from now, there's going to be nothing in my hand. I can't create something out of nothing. Everything like a house, a car, a building of some kind has had to been created by a creator of some person. And the materials that are made, like the steel, sand, rocks, or whatever, had to come from somewhere. You cannot. An atheist can say, "Well, we were just here." Yeah, it takes more faith to believe that something comes from nothing. That does not make sense to me. Even Einstein himself said he bowed to the fact that he believed in a Spinoza's God, which means that a God that is out there that controls the harmonic flow of the universe. You got the Earth that's in a Goldilocks state that's not too close to the sun, not too far away. It's in a perfect orbit away from the sun to where everything can live on Earth. And my question to Einstein would be, if there's a grand designer out there that has made all this stuff, why in the world would he not care about us? You know, because he didn't believe in humans being able to pray to somebody that would care about what was going on in their lives. He believed that he just controlled the harmonic flow and that was it. But I believe there's something greater out there. I believe that there's a creator. I believe that there's, you know, whether the angels and demons are considered, looked at as aliens from flying in space. There's something more going on out there. That's all I know. You know, that's my take on the whole alien deal and creation and everything else. And that's my real take on it. I know I bullshit a lot and I say a bunch of crazy stuff and I kid around, but honestly believe that there's more out there than us walking around acting like a bunch of fools with selfie sticks. You know what I mean? There's got to be. If there's not, we're in a whole mess of trouble.
I agree completely, man. And that's the thing, too, that I'm always – and the reason I believe that, you know, and by aliens, I don't even think aliens are any different than us. I think that there are people, and I don't think the aliens have been here in a long time. I don't think that – that I think the aliens are real, but I don't think they've been here in a long, long time. And whether it's from that, you know, flood, or whether it's from, you know, whatever reason they left, or you know, I believe that they're exactly the same with us. They're just from a different galaxy. I mean, I really think that there is, you know, wormholes and black holes or whatever, and time, and not really time travel, but there's, you know, they're just so far advanced. And the main reason that I feel that way is because if you look at all the evidence and stuff that you see, just like the landing strips and the holes they have out in Peru, and you know the pyramids and all the things like that. If you see them, they've all got certain similarities to them, and there's no way that the same time frame that they could, you know, what's the little fucking dolls out there that are on like the island? Not the little dolls, but the little statues that are on the island, like in the middle of nowhere. You know what I'm talking about?
Easter Island.
Yeah, Easter Island. You've got that, and you've got certain things that are always, and it's just, you've got things that are all in the same place, but they're in completely different sides of the world long before anybody could ever travel those sides of the world. You know, completely things exactly the same, you know, and on completely different parts of the world. There's no way that there's somebody not telling these people to do those things and convincing them that that's what's happening on other sides of the world, and there's no way that them people know or can know each other.
Let me ask you a question. I mean, take yourself out of your shoes and put it in the alien's shoes, and you live like a million billion light years away, and you're far advanced, and you come through a wormhole or a spaceship or whatever, and you see our planet.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right now, we're a planet full of assholes. We can't get along with ourselves. We're blowing stuff up. We're killing the ozone.
Yep.
We're doing all this stuff. If you see, if you're an alien that flies in your Mercedes UFO or whatever, and you're looking down, you know, you're pimping out your ride, and you're looking down, you're like, wow, those guys suck. Those guys, look at them. They can't get along with their own race.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get along with themselves. Why would I want to associate myself with, you know, the butthole of the universe down here? And we got to get our stuff together. And, it's just, it goes right back to what you said about, you know, we love to fight. We love the whole fight deal. We love it in the controlled environment inside the cage. It's what we are. There's no looking around it. Fighting is just fighting, and we love to do it. And when you do it in a controlled environment, you can do it, and you bridge gaps to where you get along with everybody. And it goes right back to what you were saying since day one. If we get along with each other and put our pride and ego aside and try to help each other, then that's where we're going to find the progress at. That's where we're going, how we're going to move forward. So you know, one day we might get to meet these advanced technological beings from another race, but we need to quit acting like a bunch of jerks and show that we can actually coexist with them without trying to blow them out of the air when we see them with a gun.
and Dustin knows as well. You know, most of the thing. You know, most of any time. The reason that we fight with each other, and other than race, is 90% of the time is religion. You know, there's so many religions out there, and, you know, that's the reason that we fight. And that's the reason, the true reason that I believe that the people, whoever these supreme beings was that was showing people how to build pyramids and orchestrating things like that, and all these perfect aligned geometrical shapes and designs and stuff that they're, you know, carving and making into these, you know, elaborate schemes and buildings and structures. The thing that really makes me think is like, okay, we stopped getting along. We started destroying the earth, and that's what made these people say, okay, we're going to go back to where the fuck we're from and get out of this shithole. You know, that's kind of my whole take on why they left.
I agree completely. We just need to have a beer after we fight, and I think we'll be golden.
Most definitely.
most definitely.
Well, Dustin, is there anything that you would like to rant on this evening before we end the show? We kind of went over the rant session part, but other than Selfie Stick, Jay Page or Dustin, anybody want to talk shit about anything real quick?
I know Dustin does.
Do what?
Man, I have some inside things in my head that I can't really think of right now, but I'm sure once I get off the phone, they'll come to my head, and I'll want to bitch on.
I think we covered the Selfie Stick. It definitely needs to be taken care of. I don't think any alien would want to find out what kind of people we are if we're walking around with that at the end of our sticks. It's not.
No doubt.
It's bad enough we got the phone. It's worse we got the stick to go along with it.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, yeah. Well, Jay Page, man, it was awesome having you on the show tonight, man. I really enjoyed speaking with you again. It's been a while since we've actually got to talk and sit down and have a heart-to-heart like we've done this evening. So.
No doubt.
Good talking
no
to
doubt.
You, buddy. And one quick question before we let you go.
Yeah.
Pacquiao, Mayweather. Who you got?
Pacquiao, Pac-Man all the way, man. And the reason being Mayweather's a hater. Mayweather is a hater of MMA, and I cannot cheer for that. I respect his fighting ability, but I hope Pac-Man knocks his face to the back of his head.
Me too, brother. Me too.
Well, hell yeah. Well, guys, Dustin, good talking to you tonight too, buddy. And this has been another very exciting episode of Primetime MMA Live, and we will see y'all most likely next week at 11 p.m. on Wednesday.
Same prime time.